Patricia Amphlett, better known to us all as Little Patty, is an Australian singer who performed as a teenager in 1960s surf pop and then in adult contemporary music. Her debut single from November 1963 was He's My Blonde-Headed Stompy Wompy Real Gone Surfer Boy. Patricia appeared regularly on television variety programs including Bandstand and toured supporting Cold Joy and the Joy Boys. Little Patty was entertaining troops during the Vietnam War in Nui Dat in Vietnam as an Australian Forces sweetheart when the nearby Battle of Long Tan began on the 18th of August 1966. In 1994, Little Patty received the Vietnam Logistic and Support Medal in recognition of her services in support of the Australian Armed Forces in operations in Vietnam. How are you today, Patricia?
I'm very well, thank you, Jeff, for a 70-year-old.
It's not possible.
Oh, it is, and do you know, it's pretty good. It's pretty good being 70. I think I'm blessed, though. Most of the time I have good health, so that makes life wonderful.
Yes, indeed. Just because you are ageing doesn't mean that life can't be great.
Oh, no, and the minute you start thinking about that you're ageing, well, why would you do that? Because every day is a new day and you get roll your sleeves up and get on with it.
Absolutely. And getting on with it is what we're going to do. Patricia, this is Nostalgia Town and we speak to well-known older Australians about their formative cultural experiences. Born in 1949, so you remember the 50s. What were the cultural experiences you had growing up?
Although I was born in Paddington at the Royal Women's Hospital, I actually grew up in Mascot and East Lakes, both of which were, and I guess still are, what we would call working class suburbs. Perhaps East Lakes was a little posh, not much, but my memories of growing up in Mascot were fabulous. And I think one of the best memories was that I took it for granted that my neighbours were not just Anglo-Saxon or Anglo-Celtic people. They were Chinese, Yugoslavs, we had Germans, we had Eastern European people and Italians and Greeks. And it seemed to be very multicultural. As I said, I assumed that everyone grew up in an area like that, but of course they didn't. Most of the music I loved was the music played at home by Mum and Dad, who, you know, there wasn't much money around, but they seemed to be able to afford to buy an LP, a vinyl record. I don't know how often, but there always seemed to be new music. And it ranged from jazz. They liked jazz, big bands, people like Rosemary Clooney, Peggy Lee, Doris Day, Frank Sinatra. Oh, gosh, we all loved Frank. So it was a mixture of that kind of music. And when pop music came along, they embraced that too. I was really lucky that Mum and Dad liked that kind of music as well.
And what about on the weekend? Did you go to the Saturday matinee?
Because I was working when I was 14, my social life was not much of it, you know. I think my social life way in my early teens consisted of going to the beach for a few hours with my brother on Saturday and sometimes Sunday, because that's when the stomp dance began and that's when I started working. So it's a bit of an unusual growing up time.
I have to ask you, was there a real blonde-headed, stompy-wompy, real-gone surfer boy in your life?
No, there wasn't. There wasn't. I was too young. Truly, by the time I was 14, in my final year at school, my workload was immense. And any semblance of social life was really with the people within my work. So no blonde-headed, stompy-wompy. And the people I worked with, they were pretty possessive of me and considerably older. I think if any fella was going to try and be serious with me, they were, you know, deterred by the musicians with whom I worked.
So you were being guarded very closely.
I was guarded. Well, I didn't mind, I suppose, but as I got older, I thought, gee, I don't have any social life. Oh, well, it didn't particularly bother me.
So not really the movies, but you did have LPs, and what about the radio? Was that a part of your life?
Ah, the radio was wonderful. You know, I cried when I heard that Gary O'Callaghan had passed away. He was very much a part of our morning. And, you know, mornings were always busy in everyone's house and the radio would be on pretty loudly. And then the bus stop was opposite, and that's how I got to school. And the girl next door was really groovy. She was a year older than me, which, you know, makes her pretty groovy. And she had a transistor radio. So when she was at the bus stop, she used to play the transistor radio. That's Jennifer is her name. Lovely. Still a friend. So we thought we were pretty hip. I know that we were always at the bus stop in time to hear Sammy Sparrow. If you lived in Sydney, you knew about Sammy Sparrow with Gary O'Callaghan.
And I remember how my older sister had a tranny, not just a transistor, a tranny.
Oh, a tranny, that's right. A tranny, that's what they were called. And they evolved, they became colourful, and, oh, they could have colours for girls, trannies, boys, trannies. I don't know that I ever had a tranny, but I certainly listened to other people's trannies and loved it.
Now, you did mention jazz, Frank Sinatra, and this was at home, wasn't it? So it was a family thing. This was very
That's
special.
Right. Gene Krupa, Artie Shaw, I'm remembering some of the band leaders' names, and it was kind of big band jazz, I guess that's what you would call it. Yes, it was a family thing. I certainly loved it, and I know my brother did. Perhaps we didn't tell our friends that we liked it, if that makes sense. But I know we both loved our parents' music, and as I said, they ended up loving ours as well. There used to be a theatre in Mascot, an old-fashioned theatre where not only were movies shown, but during the weekends there was live music. And I remember I would have been old enough to have known what feeling embarrassed felt like, but I was a little kid and Mum and Dad would love to go to the night music, and it was a live band, a jazzy type band, with crooners. Edwin Duff was one of the crooners. I can't remember who the female singers were, but Mum would walk, you know, a few kilometres, we didn't have a car, with me in the pram. And I remember thinking, oh, how embarrassing. But I guess I would have been perhaps four, and it was a smart thing to do, and you could leave the pram in the aisles. And maybe I got to see half a concert and loved it, and then can't remember getting home because I would have fallen asleep.
Now, you're actually part of the cultural heritage of many of our listeners. I remember listening to you as I was growing up, and I cannot forget that you participated in that At Its Time musical piece that ended up on television in the 1972 election.
Oh, look, it was, my parents were Labor people. My dad was around, but my mum had gone. She died quite young. The pride that they would have felt had they known I was part of that commercial, and I felt proud too and still do. And all through my working life, I've still asked to sing that occasionally, not a lot, but at Labor functions, and it still feels good. Those words are wonderful.
They certainly are, but you've got other things to be very proud of. You've made quite a contribution in the Australian Armed Forces. You've went to Vietnam during the war, and you've had an ongoing relationship with the Defence Force. Is that right?
Yeah, I have. Look, I must say that many Australian performers went to Vietnam. I just happened to be the youngest one, and I was 17, and perhaps because I looked a lot younger, that made it just a bit special. And I was there during the Battle of Long Tan and had to be evacuated, which was kind of a big deal. There were years when I was very observant, very inquisitive, and not vulnerable, but impressionable. And I kind of took everything in quite seriously, even though I seemed to be just a quite shy kid. And the fact that these young men, and they were young men, were in a war that I knew that lots of them didn't want to be in that war, and many of them were conscripts. And my brother had, his number hadn't come out of the barrel, so he might have been conscripted it was pretty close to my heart, all of that stuff. And then when I saw how they came home and were treated not well and people didn't understand them, because we lost the war, you know. Australia didn't treat them well at all, and in a way that formed my feelings for the rest of my life. Yep, I've got lots of Vietnam veteran friends, their wives, their families, and yeah, they're my heroes. I think they're the greatest.
Thank you very much for sharing that with us. It was obviously a very, very difficult time for Australia, and it is perhaps a point of shame that we did treat our veterans, our Vietnam vets, so poorly at first.
And it shaped my thinking in other ways. The pride and the feeling I had towards the soldiers went hand in hand with the fact that I became such a pacifist. I marched in the moratorium after I'd been to Vietnam, and sometimes people don't understand that, but I guess in a sentence I could say that one can be a pacifist and hate the idea of war, but at the same time be extremely proud and supportive and respectful of our military forces.
That's marvellous, Patricia. Thank you. Now, Patricia, born in 1949, that means this year you're 70.
I have turned 70.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, Patricia, can ageing be fun? What are the benefits of ageing?
Oh, look, it can. I know it can be fun. And if your friends and your family happen to have perhaps even a wicked sense of humour and a sense of fun and don't turn into old narcs, none of us are that, I think it's a great time of life. It's a wonderful time of life. The fun you have is definitely with your family and friends, and it's what you talk about and what you observe and just great conversations, really. And, you know, all the things that go with that, good meals, good company. My social connections are very important, and my family being part of that, of course. I have many, many acquaintances, but I guess, in all honesty, a handful of people I call very close friends, and I just love them, and likewise for them, and that's just great.
Any final message you want to pass on before I ask you what song to go out on?
Yeah, I don't know about messages, because we all grow old differently. I think if you have good health even up till now, and some of us are luckier than others, so that's such a treat to feel well. My mum and dad always said, don't judge anybody and try and imagine that you're in their shoes, you know. So I've taken that through my life, and that's worked pretty well, actually. So depth of understanding, I hope I can attribute that to my mum and dad.
Patricia Amphlett, every guest on Nostalgia Town gets the opportunity to nominate a song to go out on.
Well, not every day, but lots and lots I think about the Bee Gees. I grew up with them, and we were, particularly the twins, we were exactly the same age, and everyone else seemed so much older. So we were able to be kids for a bit longer, and their music is divine. I love all of their songs, but I particularly like How Deep Is Your Love.
Patricia Amphlett, thank you for joining us on Nostalgia Town today.
Thanks, Jeff. Thank you.